When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey kids, do you like pro wrestling? Well, we like pro wrestling too. This is Shake Them Ropes 8-year anniversary. And I believe this is the 500th episode or somewhere thereabouts. Want to do a little personal self, a little fart smelling here. First of all, anybody who's been here since episode one or two or the early episodes, thank you so very much. I didn't realize it had been 8 years. It feels still like four to me, but yes, it's been 8 years. We debuted on February 6th, 2014. Rob McCarron, this is his baby. I was brought along for the ride, and then I just kind of became the permanent co-host. So as always, thanks to Rob McCarron, and especially because I've actually not thanked him enough, Chris Novembrino, for taking over for Rob when Rob decided he no longer wanted to do this. And you've been here longer than I ever thought you'd be, quite frankly. I thought I would have driven you off by now, personally.
You have your weeks. and sometimes I just need to, after the show, go and scream in my closet that is soundproof for a little bit. But oh, like,
wait, you have a soundproof closet and you don't record in it? What the hell's wrong with you?
No, I know. I do actually have a soundproof closet and I don't record in it because, you know, frankly, I just stopped thinking it really was making a big difference. And so it started being more about me being comfortable during the shows. I think you could see
the ambient noise, really.
I think you could see this general change in my demeanor and the increased usage of the bathrobe on air. I just want to be comfortable now.
You've reached boomer status now.
Well, no. Okay. I now have two different podcasts that have 500 plus episodes. Is that a flex? Yeah, it is. I'm flexing. At this point, I think I've earned bathrobe status that like I can just wear a bathrobe on air when I want to, and I don't need judgment, and good on me, really.
Yeah,
I want to say
first of all, I'd like to thank me.
Well, no, you know, there's a lot of people I look up to. One of which is me. I really look up to me.
Okay, anybody who came over from the Fightful family when I was over there, thanks to you. Thanks to Voices of Wrestling for putting up with this nonsense for 500, you know, killing the purity of their fan base by having Jokey McJokester here doing his clown show about WWE and domestic wrestling. And want to send a word of encouragement because guys over at the Super J-Cast are a bit down because New Japan's having a rough time and they're just like, we don't want to do this podcast, but we like each other still. So Joel, Damon, trust me, been there many, many times, many, 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 many times when booking was bad. Entertain yourselves on the podcast and then people will listen. I mean, you know, Chris has done a show that nobody watched and did a podcast about it. So he understands that too, kind of.
Yeah, no, look, some people liked the Lucha Underground show, but then like
I didn't say people didn't like the Lucha Underground show. I said people didn't watch the
No, that's what I was about to say. But the feedback I started getting was, so I don't actually watch Lucha Underground, but I enjoy
the show. Yeah.
Well, because I started making it like a 15-minute tight punchy recap thing towards the end there, and like, you know, I didn't, because it's only 1 hour, you don't dwell, it's an easy thing to digest. I mean, like, look, if you need to change gears, like, I think I would advise people, for any tips in longevity, like, don't feel like you need to do 500 of the same show. You'll drive yourself crazy. Periodically, change what you need the format of the show to be, whether, you know, whether it's been this show or the politics show. Changing the format's honestly what keeps me sane and what keeps it fresh. And if it's not fresh, then people will notice that.
For those of you doing math and wondering how we got to 500 episodes in 8 years, pay-per-view live shows, and also there was that ill-conceived time I decided to start doing Shake Them Ropes twice a week because I wanted to cover every show that the WWE has put out there. So I do like a Raw NXT show, and then I do a SmackDown NXT UK show, 205.
Yeah.
And that was, and then I ended up killing my listenership, which just, which wasn't good, but, and thanks to all the sponsors over the years. We have two this week, HelloFresh and my bookie coming in with a Super Bowl read. I YOLO'd a ticket, Chris.
I'm proud of you.
I did.
I think what you want is condemnation, but I'm not going to give you that.
No, it's
I think
just,
it's great.
It's a tremendous waste of money, and I get that. But I wanted to be in the building if it happened, and plus I've always wanted to go to a Super Bowl, and I'd be kicking myself if I didn't go and they won. And plus the ladies aren't falling over my 8-10 credit rating, Chris. That's a flex from me.
Look at you. Man, I didn't even know they go that high.
Yeah, I remember
they
I
go,
went in.
That you're telling me they go over 600.
I went in for some kind of loan or something like that. It was a small loan or something. I go, what's your credit rating? I go, 810. They just looked at me like, I've never heard somebody having a 700. It's like, yeah, look at this. Here you go, USAA. but that doesn't do me any good. And, you know. It's I say to myself, it's just money, even though it was tremendously overpriced. But, you know, we're all, as my brother texted me, we're all maggot food eventually. It's like, thanks, Chris. Appreciate that.
No, I think it's great because, like, you know, we were talking before the show and I said that one of my regrets was that I didn't go and see the Mavericks when they were in the NBA Finals back in 2011 here. And that would have been a lot of fun. And everyone's really excited for the big game this week that's coming up here. I was at the grocery store stocking up on groceries after last week's storm, which was more mild than expected, and stopped in the bathroom. And there was a nice gentleman who had found himself locked in the bathroom stall. he was having just the hardest time. I explained to him how the door latches work, and he came out and we washed our hands and he introduced himself. It turns out he's a passionate Rams fan. And he said, hey, you know, if you've got an extra minute here, Chris, thank you for your help. I'd like you to come out and meet my family. And I did, you know, I went out, I had some time on my hands. And I met all four of his kids, 1, 2, 3 and 4 introduced.
Really?
Yeah. No, it was a wonderful thing. I like Falcons, the game unites people. And I just want to say to you and all the Bengals fans, best of luck. And for the Rams fans, enjoy the game next Tuesday.
Yes. I didn't know where that was going until you said that the guy locked himself in the stall. And then I knew it was a bit. You had me going, I thought, oh, it's going to be about like people buying snacks and all these other things. Just, oh, that was so good. You led me on there. Sad news. I'm going to start off with, Candy Devine. It's not a name that a lot of people know, but she's underappreciated in the world of women's wrestling, really, because former 4-time AWA women's champion passing away at the age of 63, 4-time, I believe, AWA champion, back when the AWA was really pushing women's wrestling, but they only had like 4 women, whoever cycled in there. It was Wendi Richter, Sherry Martel, Medusa Michelli, who were all much bigger stars. at one point or another. And then Candy Devine also in there. She also competed in Global. I remember her in Smoky Mountain as well, and also the USWA. She was also a mainstay in Herb Abrams' UWF in the 90s, along with, I believe, Jacqueline and Ivory were both part of that crew as well. And even getting some time when they when WWE signed old Medusa Michelli under the Alundra Blaze name, doing some prelim work for her. So, you know, she's not a household name, but I do think she is somewhat important in terms of no other territory was really doing a lot of good women's wrestling. It was a lot of, you know, TNA and rolling around on the mat. And I think Misty Blue was one of them. You had Dark Journey in there. Missy Hyatt would occasionally wrestle, I think. But, you know, it wasn't really serious stuff except for the AWA in some ways. So I just thought I'd give that little note of history.
I have nothing to add.
That's cool. Getting into the news, most of the news this week is all talent related in some way. The former Ring of Honor women's champ, also seen recently on Impact, dropping that title, Roxy, has reportedly been offered a WWE contract. Really like Roxy a lot. Good luck to her in the 4 years of trying to get over because she's not a 6 foot blonde. And then maybe eventually something catches on. Good wrestling will get you so far in the WWE, but she's not the type. And it's one of those weird things. I get the dream because everybody grew up on WWE and this is the dream, you know, and maybe the money is very, very good. It's just one of those things where I think it's going to be an uphill climb for her.
Yeah, I agree. I also think with this younger generation too, why not wait and just see if WWE is more amenable to you 5 years down the road here? The current regime isn't going to be there forever.
Yeah.
And you oftentimes only have one chance on that big stage. So better to wait for future monetization. I am very sympathetic to that's the dream growing up, right?
Yeah. You want
to
be in and WWE. That's the biggest company.
Yeah. But WWE is still the big dog.
Yeah. WWE is still the big dog. And we forget that sometimes because we're in this bubble and a lot of us are rooting for AEW to become a viable, strong competitor. But WWE is still Coca-Cola on the shelf in the soda aisle and it gets a lot of shelf space, even if we don't like the product all that much. So, but I like Roxy a lot. The stuff I saw from her in Ring of Honor was really good. I'm wondering who my fear is. She gets there, she gets sent to NXT and she's doing, you know, she's laying down for like daddy's girl, Tiffany Stratton and people like that, you know, Lash Legend. Man, you know these names better than I do.
I'm passionate about the product.
You're passionate about NXT. You and three people. Congratulations.
No, look, NXT, I love the blue, yellow, green, purple, red chartreuse brand.
Because they're
fantastic.
You're a deadhead. I knew it.
I am a bit of a deadhead. No, I'm not. I actually hate the dead. What are you talking about? Why? No, there's some things I'm willing to joke about here, Hawkins. But like one thing I'm not willing to joke about is the Jerry
is
Garcia.
Jerry
Garcia is a wildly overrated guitar player. Okay. At best, mediocre. On his good nights, like above average.
Oh, I got the dagger in under the armor there.
There's certain things we have agreed to not bring on to the air. And that was a low blow.
Continue your show.
It's fine. Sorry. It's fine.
AEW signing three talents this week, as we saw on Dynamite. Actually, two signed and then one signed after the show. Switchblade Jay White, Keith Lee making his debut, and AQA after the match with Jade Cargill getting signed with AEW. AQA, known to people who are fans of the aforementioned NXT as
Zeta Ramir.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I am a fan.
I got a little heat from people in my DM when I said, you know, NXT had drastically misused her. And it's like, well, and you know, I had heard, you know, oh, she's on the fast track to the main roster. I'm like, well, if she was on the fast track to the main roster, they would have kept her. I know she had some injuries, but the fact is, a month after that big, she had the big TV win over Toni Storm before Toni Storm got called up.
Right.
And then in the month afterward, she lost three times. She lost to like Mercedes Martinez, Sarai, and I believe in a tag match with against Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae.
Yeah, right, right. She was the,
so they never capitalized on the big win, and it just drove me nuts. I like her. That match against Jade was dreadful.
Okay, but the only good part of that match
was a shooting star.
No, right, and like AQA made that match, which was a horrible garbage piece of crap match. Jade Gargill's still really bad.
While the referee is just yelling spots at both of them during the entire match.
Yeah, which, I know, but like
AQA needs some seasoning. She was trained by Booker T, but she still needs a little bit of seasoning here.
I agree on that too, but she's the only thing that made that match passable. Which was an otherwise dreadful match. The Jade Cargill standard.
Do we want to go into the other two, or do we want to wait for the Lazy River?
What are the other two?
Jay White and Keith Lee.
Oh, we can hit them up in the, we'll hit them up in the Lacey.
Okay, cool. And then finally in the news, it's a light news week this week, kids, but just two ratings things of notes, because Raw, you can't judge that because it was on a totally different channel. It was on Sci-Fi because there's the Winter Games in China. which is a ratings flop.
Looked like such fun, Hawkins. Who among us doesn't dream of skiing out by a nuclear power plant?
You know what? You know who doesn't dream of skiing next to a nuclear power plant and not getting a dry run to learn the course before you get to do it? And you're an Olympic athlete, and so you end up falling on all your runs because you don't know the course. This thing's a disaster in a lot of ways, but you know, I haven't watched any of it either, which I'm disappointed in myself a little, but I'm doing it on principle, but
I like to tell myself that too, because sometimes I'm doing something and it's honestly for much more flimsy reasons. You ever do that? You ever do something on flip?
But I'm still following
it. But then I cover it up by saying I'm doing this on principle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just makes my position seem much stronger.
Actually, I just haven't had time to watch it, to be honest with you, but I do want to watch me some women's hockey and some curling. So AEW this week up 1,129,000 viewers in the demo. It was 541,000, 0.41, the highest total viewership since September 29th. Pretty good sign. The other end of that spectrum, NXT, 400,000 viewers. Chris, can you guess how many in the demo?
Well, I want to start by saying there's a lot of disloyalty, obviously, for the red, green, blue chartreuse brand. And I would say in the demo, maybe about 75,000 viewers.
You are low, actually. It's about 100,000, but only about 25% of the people watching NXT, the youth-oriented brand, are in the actual demo. This means olds are watching. People like me, and I'm not the, you know, I'm not yet in WWE's demo. Not old enough for that yet. I'm close, but my God, what do they see in this thing? Because there's some good in it. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it's not a complete watch at all for me. I mean, I can cherry pick things I like, but as an actual television show, that's 2 hours of my time. I just can't sometimes. And it's just, a lot of people are saying, because we're up for renewal of TV contracts very, very soon, that Fox might bail on the SmackDown gig to put something else in there. I have my doubts. Look, was it as much as
SmackDown's the only one that does halfway decent numbers?
It does decent numbers, but it's value over replacement. You know, some in the Fox organization. They're still pining over, you know, Tim Allen's sitcom that was and that old person sitcom that they had following it that was getting like, I think it was getting like 4 to 5 million a night, and this is only
on Friday night. I know,
on a Friday, you know,
it was doing crazy numbers.
Yeah, it was doing insane. People love them from Tim Allen. But yeah, I still think NXT's Law and Order reruns or Chicago Fire Med I want to see like Chicago bureaucracy, and it's just like the accounting, the comptroller, Chicago comptroller, and we have a drama revolving around the comptroller in the city of Chicago. That, because that's all they're replaying on USA these days, are those types of shows, and they rank higher than NXT Live every night. The Sunday Night Law and Order SVU gets just as much as NXT.
I believe it.
Okay.
I believe it. I have made this argument for a long time that WWE's really good numbers need to be rated against what the baseline numbers are for both of these networks. And I think when you do that, you get to a much more honest assessment of how useful is this. And that's where AEW, I think, really cleans up. This is a show that has a unique audience that does have a value over replacement in a way that it doesn't feel like WWE or either.
Yeah, AEW's problem is they don't feel accessible to me.
No.
And also there are some issues with character and story development. We'll break it down the lazy river.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
Closing up the news desk, I guess. Time for our first sponsor, MyBookie. Your team might have missed the big game this year. Mine didn't. Ha ha ha. But MyBookie's double deposit bonus, make sure you won't. With tons of exciting prop bets to choose from, there are hundreds of options to make this your most exciting Super Bowl party yet. Sign up at MyBookie now. Use our promo code ROPES, R-O-P-E-S, to have your first deposit matched instantly so you can get in on all the action of Super Bowl 56 between the Los Angeles Rams and your Cincinnati Bengals. Our Cincinnati Bengals. Did you want to make a Rams joke? It sounded like you're
In. Rams fans, I just want to remind you real quickly, MyBookie only takes real traditional dollars. So
actually, I think they take Bitcoin too,
and they'll take Bitcoin as well. But if you're at home making NFTs on a post-it note with a permanent marker, they won't accept that. Monopoly money or money that you found in other board games, they won't accept that. You have to use real traditional dollars. But if you're looking for some action, MyBookie would be happy to have you. They're accepting Rams fans and Bengals fans alike. And yeah, they'll happily slow down every explanation for you guys. They have a feature called Rams Speed.
Let me get back to the read.
Okay.
the only way to watch the biggest game of the year could get any better is to get paid doing it. And MyBookie gives you everything you need to do it, from betting the opening coin toss to the LinkedIn national anthem. Super Bowl prop bets are a great way for the entire party to get some skin in the big game.
Oh, real quickly, just want to remind Rams fans, there are two sides to the coin. So you can't just go with heads. Keep in mind, tails is nearly as likely to come up as heads.
Now at MyBookie, they're giving you the chance to call your own shot by submitting your own Super Bowl prop bet to be featured on site for the big game. All you have to do is comment on the MyBookie Twitter page at MyBookie to get your prop bet featured. Don't miss out. Head to MyBookie and double your first deposit up to $1,000 using our promo code ROPES. Place your bets and get ready for the unmatched excitement of the Super Bowl. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. I looked at some of the bets. I'd be hammering unders on a lot of these. It's going to be fun. Prop bets are a lot more fun than betting money line for me because I have an emotional investment in this game. I have to check to see if they are betting on the national anthem this year, because I thought last year people got hammered because the national anthem's recorded. It's not sung live and the time leaked. So I think a lot of very rich people lost a lot of money on that one.
Rams fans, that's the flag song.
That's the flag song. Thank you, Chris. And now, because we don't have a lot to do this week, because next weekend's the Saudi Arabia Spectacular. It's the lazy river of wrestling criticism. Anything we watched in the world of professional wrestling from any company we want, I'm going to talk about right now. Probably going to be a little bit more extended than usual because of the lack of news this week. But Chris, the honor is yours, sir.
Oh, man. Where to begin? You know what? I'm just going to, I'll begin with SmackDown tonight.
Okay.
Boy, wildly surprised at the quality of work in the Naomi and Charlotte match. By WWE standards, massive over-delivery. One of the better matches that they've had like non-pay-per-view in a long time on any of the programs that they had. I thought Naomi looked great here. I love the finish of this match. I thought it, even though it still had that WWE, we do our finishers or whatever, I just thought it was kind of cleverly laid out the way that they got there. Minus the chop block spot didn't look as clean as it could.
Yeah. And yeah, there was also a little bit, I think, that the pausing there before she did the second hip check or whatever, the field of glow thing. There's a little bit of a shaky part in there, but overall, I mean, I said, I think this is the best main roster Naomi match I've seen, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah. That's fair to say.
And Charlotte even did some pretty damn good selling, I thought, here. She's never really required to sell all that much unless she's in a match with, you know, your Beckys, your Rondas, your Sashas. I thought she did a good job here. My only issue with this match, number one, as I said before, this is the annual in February Naomi push that's not going to lead to anything, which sucks. Because this match alone, if they had just left the finish alone and maybe had Naomi be heartbroken by the entire thing, it would have been like Becky versus Sasha at that one NXT takeover. She would have gotten over, I think, if they had just let it emotionally resonate a bit here and let it breathe a little bit here. But instead we get Sonya, and Sonya's getting the heat with Charlotte. And then all of that great work they did to build up Naomi here was then to put shine on Ronda. And we don't need to put shine on Ronda because we already know the match at WrestleMania. We have 2 months to build the match to WrestleMania. And it felt like this could have been done 2 weeks in advance or 2 weeks later or whatever to set up a tag match between Sonya and Charlotte and Naomi and Ronda, because we know that's what that's leading to. But it was just like, I'm watching this and I'm watching the crowd react, and the crowd's buying half of these falls. And they're really, and that's really the mark of a really good match, is when you think there might be a title change when you weren't expecting it. And then they took all that goodwill and then they just gave it to somebody else pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the big problems here too, is I have a hard time imagining Ronda and Charlotte delivers at the level of Naomi and Charlotte here. So
interesting.
I think the Ronda match is going to have a hard time getting to the level of Naomi's match that she just had here. And so I thought that was a mistake. I don't think the making the save spot really helped baby Ronda too much. And if anything, I would have, if we needed to do a save Naomi spot, I would have had Xia Li, the protector, come out and just sort of advance that protector gimmick by running off Charlotte and Sonya Deville, not to set up a match anytime soon or whatever, or actually maybe to set up a match along the way for this Xia Li or for this Ronda Rousey match. But I just wouldn't have had Ronda involved in this finish at all. I think they did that as a panic move. I think they're worried that Ronda is not connecting with fans.
Maybe, but they definitely did it to get the crowd pop for Ronda, and then people would go home happy that they got to see Ronda after Naomi lost. It's just one of those things where, you know, I know there's a lot of Twitter accounts that make fun of WWE always wanting the heat. Just the Sonya Charlotte beatdown, I think, would have been enough. If you wanted to do it that way, I still would have just let this linger after the match and see how the crowd reacted to Naomi after that, just so that you have something afterwards.
Yeah. It's a shame. She had a really nice match here. I just don't see this going anywhere.
I'll stay on SmackDown because there are two other things that caught my eye on the show. This report from Fightful Select about the New Day being reunited, or that Vince now wants to reunite them because he misses the magic that's there. But at the same time that they're, I think that story is it, because again, on SmackDown tonight, they did not introduce them as the New Day. They introduced them as Kofi and Big E again. I think the loss is supposed to be the conduit to bringing them together. I thought that was good. But Cesaro not even getting an entrance shocked me a bit. Like he got the currently in the ring Cesaro.
I find everything that they've been doing with Big E and Kofi to be weird and strange, and like they clearly have no direction for these guys. Cesaro And mistreatment of Cesaro, what's new? Like, this is what we do with Cesaro. Like, we periodically every 2 to 3 years remove him down to the lower mid card for reasons inexplicable, and then people remember that he's a wonderful wrestler.
They are taping SmackDown for next week tonight. I will not give spoilers out of respect for everybody who likes watching it live. But something happens on the show. I'll just leave it at that. Chris, go ahead and pick something else if you want.
Okay. Staying on SmackDown, I guess we'll just kind of keep moving through here. I didn't hate the Roman Reigns sit down interview. I'm going to Goldberg. I mean, I think that like there's a real chance that actually happens during the match. And I think that would actually be good for Roman Reigns' character.
I did laugh because you knew Vince had to get the dig in. There was a lot of Vince babying on this show in subtle ways and overt ways. Cause there was the, you know, I have this note from Mr. McMahon who says he cannot stand corrupt WWE official. I'm like, of course Vince is babying himself for this, but also just the Roman line.
WCW would still be in business.
WCW would still be in existence if I had been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No. I thought that was fine. Goldberg, for his part, I thought that promo was pretty rocky.
They're still towing that line between that. You remember that? Like, I think it was the second time he came back. Maybe it was the first time where he was really good on the mic.
Yeah.
And it was almost like we found out Goldberg was entertaining on this run. And now it's like, this is the fifth, sixth time we brought him back. Let's give him a new edge or something like that. It's like, it's not really working.
I mean, I also just think Goldberg at this stage of the game saying you're going to see the old Goldberg, it rings hollow. He doesn't look the same as he did when he came back 5 years ago or 4 years ago now.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, he's has to be upper 50s, maybe. Yeah. 60 even.
Yeah. For a guy his age,
he looks
incredible.
Great. But I don't incredible. Want, but, yeah, but, yeah. but he's not, but this is a member Barry's Federation. And whenever they bring somebody old or not old, but somebody who used to be there, they have to be at their peak. Otherwise it becomes the law of diminishing returns and they keep doing this, but you know, this is mostly for Saudi Arabia. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but you know, I thought for what it was, I thought it was fine. That's all I got.
Okay, I'm thinking about just wrapping up everything WWE/NXT before we get into AEW.
I'm fine with that.
I did watch NXT this week, and I really liked that Grizzled Young Veterans Creed Brothers match.
Oh, sure.
Quite a bit. What are we going to do with the Grizzled Young Veterans? Because I think if you brought them up to SmackDown or Raw, they get over getting heat with Zach Gibson talking to the crowd. I do. If he's running down the Yanks or whatever he's going to do, I mean, he can get that team heat on the mic as a heel team. I don't think they don't like tag teams, but I think they're lost in this version of NXT, quite frankly.
I do too. And it's weird just because like, they're not, I mean, they're
well, actually, when they were brought over, that tag team division was fantastic, and you were really looking forward to the ways that they could intermingle in that tag team division.
But I mean, this is a real testament to talent really only can get a company so far. Like, you had a lot of talented people in that tag team division, and the booking and the in-ring storytelling is just sort of like not there right now. The Creeds continue to be like a really bright spot. I have long been singing the praises of Julius Creed. I think you just see more and more attitude out of that guy every week.
I like them, but again, it's one of these things. The wrong Creed brother is the better Creed brother in their eyes, I think.
Brutus. They like Brutus.
They like Brutus more.
Although what's interesting is that they pinned Brutus and they didn't pin Julius. So I don't know. I remember a couple weeks ago they had Brutus lose and he got pinned by Imperium, and I was like, yeah. Oh, interesting. Julius was in there trying to make the save. Julius is the guy. I like Brutus. Brutus is fine.
I like Brutus. Julius is advancing a lot faster to me. Yeah. I mean, he has personality. He has good roar spots. I loved the ending of that match where he's just, I got the pin here. And of course, Malcolm Bivens is just fantastic. He makes the entire package. I'm actually looking forward to the Dusty Finals. I mean, this is the first match in the actual tournament that actually did something for me, which I really liked it. I like MSK and the Creed brothers. I think that's going to be an interesting match.
Yeah. I mean, it just has like the MSK guys are the right size for the Creed brothers
to throw around.
I don't think they're going to do this, but boy, especially with the Creed brothers being very over right now, this is the greatest time to turn MSK heel. Wes Lee, most grating dude in the world. It's like Matt Riddle on overdrive.
More grating, Wes Lee or Jerry Garcia?
Wes Lee. Jerry Garcia is at least, it's the dead are grating as like a unit.
Their fan base are grating.
That's also true, but like yes. The music, like the vamping is grating, but like Jerry Garcia seems like he'd be a pretty pleasant dude to be around. Wes Lee, like, seems like he'd be like, yo, what's going on, bro? Like all the time.
God. Although that Riddle partnership was perfect for MSK.
Oh no, it's perfect. It's perfect for them. I'm not denying that. It's okay. Just, I mean, I also kind of think Riddle makes sense as a heel. So,
I'm torn.
There's a
on
way
this
to do him as a stoner baby face, but the way they present him is much more naturally a heel to me.
Yeah, but they're never going to flip that switch where he's just a killer MMA guy. You know, just. You know, I character development, not WWE strength. I mean, you're a one note guy until they find something that works, and then you're that note forever, pretty much. Unless you're Roman Reigns, and then you get an arc, you know, which is depressing to me because it's like I would love to see, you know, bro stoner dude, you know, learn all these things from Randy Orton and then just become a more Randy Orton than Randy Orton ever could be. You know?
Yeah, right. Wouldn't it be great if, like, yeah, he was like the stoner like version of Randy Orton, where like nothing fazed him seemingly, and he like seemed to be.
Oh no, he could be the stoner, but he only does that to calm down due to his rage issues.
Like head in the when he snaps out of the head in the clouds mode, it's just like assassin. Yeah. I know. I mean, we can dream. Anything else in NXT you wanted to hit up? Oh yeah, I bet you there's at least one more thing you want to talk about in NXT.
Karen Chu?
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Or Wendy Chu.
Wendy Chu, yeah.
Still love her.
Really? I thought the wrong person won in this match.
Yes.
I
didn't understand that at all, but it's 50-50 crap. They're gonna do the 50-50 with her. Look, she is the stupid palate cleanser that I need on this show that is a bunch of goofballs that they take way too seriously at times. And I loved Becky Lynch's tweet where she goes, I want Wendy Chu in the Elimination Chamber. And I'm like thinking about that. I'm like, she could fall asleep in the pod. She could climb up to the top of the pod and take a nap. Yep. I'm kind of here for that kind of ridiculousness in a super serious match like that. I am, but this is her niche. I mean, Roxy is a serious wrestler. Karen Q is a fantastic comedy wrestler. She just is. And so that's a place where I want somebody like her to work for 30 years and get all the money, because that's pretty much, I mean, that's somewhere where I just want people to be able to go somewhere and find their niche. That's all. That's all.
Yeah, you need to have people in the middle of the card and these sorts of things. Like
the world needs ditch. The world needs Andre Chases, and the world needs
Wendy Chews. Yeah, these characters are good. I think especially when you come up with a good character like an Andre Chase or like a Wendy Chew or whatever, it's not about making them win a title or anything.
No.
It's just about making sure that every time they have a match, it's really entertaining.
Yes. And,
that, like,
and also not
the
beating them too much and making them stupid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Not beating them too much. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have nothing else for NXT.
Okay, cool. Where do you want to go next?
Well, since we got through Raw and NXT and everything else, I had nothing for NXT UK because I did not watch it. Unfortunately, I didn't have time. So the world of AEW, I guess, would be where we would go. And
well, You know, before that, Hawkins.
Oh, okay, yes.
That, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you know.
I thought you might have forgotten, but here we are.
I didn't forget. You okay. know, you, I mean, I feel like maybe you had forgotten.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
No? Well, good. So, I've written a new theme song.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I have. Hold on. The transition could have went a little smoother. I didn't
yes,
realize.
It could have.
Yeah, no, the pedal board wasn't plugged in, Hawkins. I don't need your judgment. You don't understand how tough it is to
I
be
I just
able-
love you saying the obvious. The transition could have been smoother. Well, yes.
Yeah, no,
yes,
it could have been. It could have been. But you know what I want to say? I want to say, hello. Is it fresh you're looking for? Hello, fresh. What is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. The new year is a great time to focus on what's important to you, whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook, or prioritizing your wellness, HelloFresh is here to help out with endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients to your door, including farm-fresh produce that arrives within a week so that you get the convenience without skimping on quality. Skip the trip to the grocery store, saving you the wait in the long holiday lines. It's not the holidays anymore, but you know, like, look, Valentine's Day is coming up. Who knows? It could be a big one this week. And ensuring you don't waste money on excess food. Now, Hawkins, you got your HelloFresh care package this week.
Yes.
And what'd you think of it?
Here's what I really, really like. Number one, I am not an adventurous cook, so to speak. And by adventurous, I mean, I don't buy a lot of vegetables. so it's one of those things where the pre-portioned ingredients and things like that works for me, because I would never buy, you know, a lot of, you know, some of the spices that they use, or some of the, I have no reason to buy a lot of cucumbers. Okay, I just don't. I like pickles. I don't buy a lot of cucumbers. I don't buy a lot of carrots. I don't buy a lot of potatoes. I am a meat and cheese kind of guy, with occasionally some lettuce and tomato on top. That's pretty much my diet, as I've been avoiding carbs of late. But for this, I did some adventurous eating. I am not a man who would normally cook something like couscous, Chris, but I cooked some couscous, Chris.
Wow.
And
you
I like
you. Oh, you did.
I
you
did.
Cooked, you cooked couscous.
They gave me couscous as a side dish with some chicken. And I had never had couscous before. I haven't had, you know, it's not one of those things I've actually sought out to have before, because I'm just like, why would I go out to eat couscous? Because, you know, whatever. But that's what HelloFresh does for me, is they kind of expanded my horizons a little bit as to what I would try and what I would not try, because generally I'm afraid to spend a lot of money on something like couscous, Chris, because otherwise, and what if I don't like it? Then I've spent $12 on couscous, Chris.
Yeah, no, look, you're trying to save money, not spend money. HelloFresh
exactly.
is 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. And if you're Hawkins and you buy really expensive rice and couscous products.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, now if you're that kind of guy, this can actually save you even more than that, because again, you have weird consumptive habits where you're paying for, I don't know, what's like gold milled grain or whatever. I don't understand.
Look, let me get to the point. The proteins are fantastic. The meats that they have are just absolutely fantastic.
Nice. Yeah, no, I see we've got recipes like hibachi sweet soy bavette steak and shrimp, like if you're kind of not into meat too. And they also have white cheddar Wonder Burgers as well. So
having those tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah, that was one of the meals they gave me. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So look, if you want to get in on this, you got to go to HelloFresh.com/VOW16. That's VOW 16, but I don't want to confuse the Rams fans, so I'm going to spell out the promo code here. VOW, that's the double V, 16. And you'll use that code for up to 16 free meals. That's where the 16 comes from, and 3 free gifts. So make sure to check that out, HelloFresh.com/VOW16. Use that code Vow 16 for up to 16 free meals. That's what I want to say. I just want to say hello. All right. Is
Angie,
it fresh you're looking for?
I hope your parents enjoy your hello fresh.
Me too. I love you, Mom.
Yes, I may have given. I have Chris's parents'
it's
address.
It's not his fault. I just get most of my mail over there.
Yeah,
I want to make sure the packages arrive.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll fix you dinner on Sunday. It'll be HelloFresh. It'll be great.
Right. I haven't heard from them yet on it, but you know, I'm assuming they got it. And
yeah,
if, yeah, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. No. I Lionel Richie, what are you doing? I'm going to start in our AEW department with Dynamite and the very first segment. I am going to celebrate heel celebrations. It is a lost art form, Chris. It is one of those things where, you know, it's one of those things where it's, oh, birthday cake, heel comes out, babyface ruins it, you know, crowd pops or whatever. But there is something special, and we had this happen when we did our Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler retrospective, where, and this was a big thing in Memphis, you would have the heels get their moment. And it is such an underappreciated and underutilized plot point in the overarching arc. You know, the Star Wars trilogy would not be as fondly remembered, I think, unless the Empire won that second movie in some ways. You know, you have to let the bad guys occasionally win a battle, because then that makes the good guys winning the war so much more satisfying. And I adored this. I did. The cardboard cutouts. Yeah, it was somewhat of a way to get Wardlow over more and more as a babyface, because he's not respected more. But let's also give some credit to Sean Spears as their knucklehead flunky in the Pinnacle. Because the irony is, they've tried to rebrand Sean Spears as tough guy. Sean Spears gave some people advice that funny didn't make money. And he's fantastic at being funny and being a goof and being a disingenuous stooge for people. I thought his facials here were fantastic. His leering next to Justin Roberts having to read the intro was fantastic. You know, I liked the Punk part. I liked when Tony Schiavone had to get up and give him the mic, as opposed to Punk just coming out with the mic. I thought that was a nice little touch to that story too. I liked the threatening of a beating with bats and, you know, hey, Wardlow, if you got any brains, you'd leave right now. I thought that was a nice little beat of the story. I just loved this entire opening segment, quite frankly.
The MJF's, I mean, like, his entrance is just great.
Yes.
I mean,
with the platform and the one woman who gives him the one woman who gives him the peck on the cheek and the other one who just sticks her tongue down his throat.
Yeah. Apparently she's his girlfriend. Too. No, like that's great. Nice placement of that. Nice girlfriend service too by MJF, class act. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I liked all that stuff. My only knock on it, kind of building on my critique last week, is I just think they've mishandled the Wardlow storyline.
Yes, I would agree.
And I'll go further on that. Like, it's like so weird. You know, he's facing Blade, or he faced Blade this week. Next week, he's facing Max Caster, which I just thought was like the most baffling of all the people on the roster to pair him with. Like, the Acclaimed are really like one of the worst acts, because they're a heel act that's also moving towards kind of a babyface tweener status.
Yeah.
I thought like Blade, Butcher next week would actually have been like if Butcher was available, would be like a perfect, but like Wardlow needs to, especially if you're going to make him a babyface, Wardlow needs to be going against clear heel enhancement matches. And while Caster's a heel, he's like a cool heel.
It's a dangerous game to play, because it's almost like everybody is allowed to know that Wardlow is getting a babyface push, except the characters themselves involved in the story, MJF and Wardlow. You know,
yeah.
It's one of those weird things where everybody's in on it, except the people who are actually, you know, it's a little too
Well, I don't know. I think especially after watching Sting and Darby a couple weeks ago, where that acclaimed interaction with Sting and Darby didn't necessarily go as hot for Sting and Darby in terms of like clear polarization.
Right.
I mean, I just, in my head, the second I saw that billing on Rampage, I was like, man, I could see the Powerbomb Symphony on Max Caster being met with like ambivalence towards slight negativity of like, hey, stop powerbombing Max Caster. We like this guy. Because the whole point about the Powerbomb Symphony is it's brutal, and so it really only works when it's either a nameless, faceless Scrubzo Magoo who's getting like wiped off the face of the earth, or someone like Blade, who is a clear heel, and you feel no, like, oh, poor Blade as he's getting like obliterated. Max Caster, it'd be the same way with Bowens. I think in both cases, it would actually work against the story they're trying to tell with Wardlow, which I think is just a couple beats behind where it needed to be. I think...
Like, a member of the Gun Club here wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly. And especially if you're going to make Wardlow so standoffish now, too. Yeah. I think that's the other part. I had one problem with, like, Wardlow being so obviously standoffish during the MJF celebration, I think was just a little bit... I mean, it made MJF look a little stupid. Like, okay, he doesn't realize that he's got like a wolf in the door, you know, in the fold or whatever.
Fox in the hen house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got what you're saying. Pick something from AEW that you wanted to talk about.
All right. Let's go into Dynamite. First of all, I just broadly speaking, this Dynamite show is really good.
It was really good. There's only one misfire for me, and we talked about it.
Oh, yeah. So next, I would say the Inner Circle team meeting here. Let's go into this.
Okay.
God. Jericho can't keep his heel and babyface work straight from month to month or week to week to the point where it's episode to episode, he is, yes, sort of a baby face on commentary on Rampage, but then like he oscillates back to this attendance is mandatory. But even when he's explaining the situation with Santana Ortiz on the mic while on commentary and Rampage, he's doing it in this almost baby face way, but he was being a total heel during this promo. And I like, all this stinks. Like I'm very checked out on Jericho.
Can I bring up another thing that he's doing that's driving me insane?
Sure.
Is that this is like late stage when he was a special attraction, WWF Jericho, where when he, every time he's on camera now, he's trying to get a new phrase or a new gimmick over for a t-shirt. 'Cause that influencer thing is death. He's calling himself the influencer. Yeah. We were talking about the influencer thing. It's like that Rudy Tooty Booty thing he was doing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In WWE, where it's like, every time I go on camera now, I'm trying to try and get a new phrase or something, a new t-shirt, to get that money, get that sweet lucre out there. And I'm just like, okay. But no, like the snapping at Sammy didn't make sense. In context,
no, that just came out of nowhere, right? Like it was just like, shut the hell up, Sammy. Like, okay.
He's become unhinged, even though he was in the right last week for everything, because Power and Powerful were not acting, you know.
That's like the worst part. Like, now he's the bad guy this week, even though, like, yeah, like, and Proud and Powerful still have not watched the videotape. From the match, like, they still have no idea how they won that match.
Hager not doing anything. It's like, I would have liked a little bit of character development for Hager here as to how he felt about everybody else. You know, even if he is just going to be dumb muscle for Jericho, that's fine. But they also had the thing that got me was the line of, you know, every time we had a chance at the tag team titles, you stepped in. And I don't think that was true necessarily, but the way they could have gotten around that was describing about, because I believe La Sex Gods did get a tag team title shot at one point, you know, him and Sammy. I think if they had just played up the, you know, every time there was a big tag team match, it always ended up being you and Sammy instead of us. I think that would have been a little bit better than how they did, because that was a little bit like, I was trying to think, okay.
But, you know, I bet you they didn't want to do that because they wanted to have Sammy be dead in the middle.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, there's just so many plot holes here in this inner circle storyline. And I mean, I'm just way over caring about the inner circle. Right. I mean, if anything, like the best thing that happened in all of that was Sammy took off his colors and he basically was the first one to quit. Because to me, if the inner circle story is not working around Sammy Guevara at this point, what is the point of this? Like the big problem here is that the breakup's all centered around Proud and Powerful, when really it should all be centered around Sammy becoming bigger than this group at this point, that he likes these guys, but he's outgrown them.
Yeah. yeah, that's so, I'm going to be happy to see them all go their separate ways. Cause I never thought them, look, the inner circle should have dissolved after Blood and Guts. I think we're all in agreement for that, but yeah.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anything else on the inner circle you want to talk about?
No, I'm done on the inner circle.
Okay, cool. Let me then wax about the other just fantastic thing on this show, Kazunite.
Thank you.
FTR versus Punk and Moxley.
Ooh,
what a fantastic match this was. Finally, I think FTR got to lead a little bit more as compared to, look, there's no doubt, we talked about here, their chemistry with the Lucha Brothers, not very good. And you can probably speculate as to why, or, you know, I think there's probably some communications issues. Maybe it was depending on who wanted to lead, but this was pure tag team 1987, match. I adored the hell out of this thing. A little surprising that Mox was the partner. I thought this was going to be where they debuted Keith Lee originally, but they did that earlier in the show. But the match itself was great. We got a Midnight Express Vegematic in here. A couple of the spots made me hold my breath, like the Tope spot where they're holding up Punk and Mox comes out and lands on all three of them. That made me hold my breath a little bit more. But as well as, look, y'all know I'm a Tully Blanchard fan. The coming in there, just hitting him with the jacket and Punk just laughing at it, that is straight out of the JJ Dillon school of 1980s interference right there. And look, he didn't go up smooth for the GTS, but he got up there and he took it and he died, which is the exact thing a manager should do at this point. But man, I absolutely love this match.
Yeah. I just thought that this match didn't overstay its welcome. I thought that Moxley and Punk were like a real great television tag team. It was something new and fresh that we hadn't seen before in the ring, apparently ever, from what I was seeing. And that it felt like when they signed guys like Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, these are the moments that I am here for. And these are the moments that I want out of them. And so I found a number of, you know, like what Danielson's been doing, I've not necessarily been like all over. Punk sort of hit or miss. I think Punk's great, but like, I think this MJF program's kind of like I mean, dude, it's been going on a long time now at this point. Like we sort of ran out of story to tell a minute ago. I get that we still have now this defeat in Chicago to build around, but like the feud itself, it lost steam several weeks ago for me, despite the good match. What I'm looking for are moments like this. I want Moxley and Punk and Danielson in a faction together. You know, I mean, there are all these guys from the last decade who have, in my opinion, unfinished business because the industry that they were working in, WWE, the company they were working for, was not utilizing them to the best of their individual abilities.
I enjoyed
this match.
Danielson's wrap-up promo tonight on Rampage was really good about him wanting a relationship versus a one-night stand. I thought that was clever.
Yeah, I liked that too. That was good. Yeah, so I guess my thought here on the title match, it was really, they worked hard. I know Adam Page is bleeding during these title defenses and all that, but just no intrigue in this story. The outcome was never meaningfully in doubt. It would have been bad to have Adam Page be seriously in peril against Lance Archer, given the shakiness of the title run thus far. But this is also not fun, and it wasn't even really that fun to watch him finally overcome Lance Archer, because you didn't really hate Lance Archer during this feud either. Like, this was just... I feel bad for Page because he's killing himself for stories that are just not killing it.
Yeah, the most intriguing part of this match was the whole Jake Roberts interplay, where he wanted to do the DDT, and Archer said no, and then eventually Paige got the DDT on Archer. That was the most intriguing part, and then Jake just flipped him off, you know, just did that whatever type of thing. So we had two debuts in AEW this week. Both hyped. One was hyped, and then one was and it was also not delivered as they said it was, because it was going to be Tony Khan's going to make a big announcement, and somebody's going to sign a contract and come through the forbidden door and slam it. And there was none of that, but we did have two debuts, the first of which with Keith Lee. The Keith Lee Isaiah Cassidy match, pretty good, I thought. He looks comfortable in AEW, where he looked, I mean, you watched him in WWE and he looked uncomfortable, but there's always that thing with me, and it's just a personal preference type of thing. Keith Lee's going to get to do what Keith Lee wants to do in AEW, and that's good in some ways, but, and I said this on the Dynamite show that I do, Chris, I said, Keith Lee has a bit of a Brody Lee problem. He's a big guy who likes doing small guy moves. He likes doing the aerial stuff. And look, I love me some headhunters. I loved watching them do big guys doing moonsaults. I'm here for that. Bam Bam Bigelow, Vader, the whole deal. But at the same time, for me, he doesn't do enough power stuff for my liking in some ways. And I think the way that he's working right now, he's going to break down a lot quicker. Like I actually kind of want more Vader out of him, to be honest with you, but I know that that's probably not what I'm going to get. So I guess I should be happy because he's going to be happy here. But at the same time, am I off on this in any way? Because
I think that what you have in Keith Lee, in my opinion, is like a babyface Vader in its best presentation. And like, this is a guy who,
but he's not violent enough to be.
I get you. I get you. Let me close the circuit here. If I want to enjoy when the latency is not kicking in, you have to see it's a treasured commodity here tonight. I would have Keith Lee be on a trajectory where ultimately he's going to be the guy to face off against MJF in the first like major feud when MJF's the champion. I'm assuming at some point MJF's going to beat Paige. And I would be trying to build up Keith Lee as a juggernaut and see if there's like a real like land swell underneath Keith Lee to see Keith Lee in a main event picture.
Yeah.
I know they're like, oh, we're putting him in the TNT slot. I think that's very unambitious. I think Keith Lee, like when I saw him this week, look, especially compared to a lot of the guys on the roster, Keith Lee looks like a heavyweight champion. The rest of the guys look like a mid-card champions.
Yeah, I would agree. I loved the powerbomb spot after catching him on the outside. I thought that was a great post-match. That was a lot of fun. Look, Isaiah Cassie flew for the guy. And you know, and we got to see the greatest hits of Keith Lee. That's great. No longer Bearcat, also a good thing.
Is it?
Oh, yes, it's very.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. Bearcat, it's not quite Slapjack level in terms of gimmick, but like, I just thought there's a lot of tread left on the Bearcat tires.
Yeah, well, I mean, he worked that crowd before the match. I mean, he did played all the indie hits where it's like, you know, bask in his glory and let him conduct the crowd and let him get himself over. He's going to be fine in that respect. The other one is Jay White, former new IWGP heavyweight champion, I believe, Jay White. Jay White, who has been working Impact and Indies here in the States. And boy, between the debut and the appearance on Rampage, I have some concerns. I do. He's going to have to cut some promos, man. He is going to, I mean, look, he is a great wrestler. He's smooth, but I kind of put him in that same category as like a Dolph Ziggler in some ways. He's very, very smooth, but he doesn't bring the violence enough for me a little bit. You know, he is a product of New Japan post Nakamura to me. And that's what a lot of New Japan is for me right now. And I just think, I mean, having him be almost a stooge for Adam Cole is a bad idea here.
Yeah. I just don't like the Cole pairing. And I think, you know, when you get a guy who's been an IWGP champion, your goal with his presentation right now is heat him up for a feud with Adam Page. I think having Jay White be Adam Page's first real point of resistance, that's got some real intrigue to it, but I think that works better if Jay White's just coming in from out of nowhere and we don't really know where Jay White's loyal. I mean, I actually kind of think that this whole Bullet Club thing is going to be a bit of a swerve and we're going to see Jay White's going to be his own man or something like that. But I still would have just had him right on a collision course with Paige right from day one.
Yeah. The little ta-da cameo in the middle of Days of Our Lives Bullet Club didn't do it for me, quite frankly. I also call him jacked up Miles Teller and I can't unsee it now because he looks like actor Miles Teller, but just really kind of buff.
I see him as like it's basically Neville if you like took the Neville beauty factor and raised it up 2 points.
Let's go to something else that we both just kind of got real shocked on. I think we can end on this as well. We're watching Rampage and it gets to the Layla Hirsch Chris Statlander recap. And Statlander pulls this line out. If you behave like that as a child, no longer your parents gave up on you or gave you up. What? I'm sorry. What did you just say? Did you just pull and you were adopted? I'm like, you're on a playground of some kind. This is not something for your whimsical baby face female in your whimsical baby face stable to say in a feud necessarily. There are lines where you can get heat. That one makes you a heel, Chris.
Well, yeah. And like, I mean, the whole, well, you're a bad person because your parents are bad people. Like it's exonerative. Like it makes the heel sympathetic. It makes you a heel. And then worse still, it makes the heel the person you're kind of rooting for, like, okay, yeah, she's angry and bitter, but we know why.
Yeah,
she wanted to kick some ass. Yeah,
she has a chip on her shoulder now, but she's entitled to it. She's just like, oh my god, wait.
She's a dick, but she's trying to prove something to herself because her parents didn't love her and they put her up for adoption. Like, it makes Layla Hirsch the baby face. It makes Statlander sort of the heel, and they were already sort of casting against size. here. And I mean, like you and I were talking before the show, the best friends, that faction's just quickly turning into like a crappy version of the Addams Family, man. Like with Danhausen and Statlander and Orange Cassidy's kind of like a cool version of Cousin It. Morticia and Gomez, I guess, would be Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta.
Yeah, the Roppongi Vice Young Bucks match, it was second match on a PWG card for me. It wasn't particularly anything direct home about, but it was still solid. It just, there's no heat on it. It was play the hits and we'll get there. But yeah, no, that line, I just went, oh my God, what? And I think we went over everything else on Rampage that was worth going over, right?
Yeah, I thought that, you know, some of the enhancement matches here went a little long in the tooth, like Rebecca Rampage.
Oh yeah, Rebecca Rampage too. Yeah, yeah. Robin Rampage.
There we go. Yeah. I mean the hook match I think is fine, but here, right. Hook's another guy where it's like, I don't know what their plan is, because like I mean Hook versus Sammy seems like, yes, it would theoretically be hot because they're both two hot baby faces, but like, don't you want to keep Hook on a trajectory where he's just like annihilating people every episode?
I don't know. Keeping him away from the rest of Team Taz because it feels like they're doing a babyface push with him, which is more a problem with character development again. It's like, what do we want this guy to be right now?
In this sense, WWE and AEW do have this like one parallel. Like, hey, AEW is clearly the better show right now, but right. The inconsistent characterization of babyfaces and heels, it catches up to you. It makes the characters less interesting, and like, I have no sort of delusions that WWE is going to change their ways, but like AEW, especially to be the alternative, really does need to be better on steady characterization.
I'll give one other interesting note. I forgot if this was on Dark or Dark Elevation, but there was a match in there between two NXT cast-offs that I found, well, it wasn't a great match by any means, but it was fascinating to me in some ways, just the staging. It was Danielle Camella, the former Vanessa Bourne, who got brought up to the main roster and then never used and never put on TV. And we commented on this. She was like hanging out in Scottsdale the entire pandemic and never going back on the road or going back to Orlando to do tapings or anything like that. And would occasionally pop into Austin for like an acting audition, which was weird. I think she'd make a fantastic manager. She's not a really great wrestler, and she's getting a little, she has some veteran years under her. Let's put it this way. I think she's in her early to mid 30s right now. Take on the rechristened killer, Marina Shifrin, old fight from Fight and Play, which, you know, she's one of Ronda's horsewomen. She knows mixed martial arts. It's interesting in a federation that already has Layla Hirsch in it and a couple other shooters. And even getting Paige Van Zandt involved in angles now, it'll be interesting if you can ride the wave of yet another shooter type female in there. I think they're always welcome in this type of sport, and especially in these AEW dark type shows, which are just kind of doing squash matches and enhancement. You're doing some character building in here, but not a lot of it per se outside the ring. It's mostly that in ring. Here's this person, and they're doing kind of a squash match, but the other person's getting some offense in it, which, you know, makes it seem a little 50-50 at times. But it was just an interesting matchup to me in some ways.
I don't really have like
a no, you don't need to comment on that. You got nothing else? We'll close up the Lazy River, call it a night, get these technical difficulties out of the way. I'd like to thank our sponsors, MyBookie and HelloFresh. MyBookie, use code ROPES. Double your deposit up to $1,000. HelloFresh.com/VOW16 for 16 free meals or up to 16 free meals and free shipping, I believe it was. This has been Shake Them Ropes, 500th episode. I'm CrapGame13 on Twitter. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes, part of the Voices of Wrestling family. Please listen to any and all of our shows on our network. Chris can be followed on the Twitterverse at DWATG. He does a show called, ironically enough, DWATG stands for something. It stands for Don't Worry About the Government. He's going to tell you about it now.
Don't Worry About the Government dropped an episode earlier this week or something, I think. Yeah. Patreon.com/DWATG. I was on Matt Lewis in the News talking Ukraine recently as well. I may get in here at some point this next week and record stuff as the Ukraine situation continues to develop. I'm on that jag right now. So if you want to hear my thoughts on foreign policy stuff, by all means, check out Don't Worry About the Government. Probably sprinkle a little bit of domestic news in here, but we're watching this Russia situation.
Here's to 8 more years. You're contracted, Chris. You have to do 8
more
okay.
years. Okay. I'm okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.